Hey, what's good, everyone? This is Rich, and I'm here with Wim, and you're listening to the Paychecks and Balances podcast, where we help you get your work and money right without boring you to sleep. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Acast, and the Google Play Music podcast section, just to name a few places. But before we get into the show, what's good, good sir?
Well, as I told you in the black box discussions, and I thought I'd share with the listeners, I have been tasked with the responsibility of taking care of my mom's beloved 13-year-old, so 91 years. I had to get out a calculator just to figure that out. 91 years and human years old dog, and I only bring this up because I think she has asthma or something like that. So if you hear somebody besides myself having an asthmatic attack over here, please do not panic.
It could be me, for that matter.
Yeah, alert the authorities. That is probably my dog, and I are my mom's dog. I have to assume she's made it through a few bouts already, and I'm hoping she makes it through the next few. This will be going on for 3 weeks, so just apply this disclaimer to the next three shows.
Yeah, I'm really hoping the best for the dog, man. I said right before we started recording, good luck, puppy. Like, please survive, make it. Don't leave us yet. Let us get through these episodes.
Yeah, man, she's actually right here staring at me, so we'll see how this goes. Hopefully she can be a supportive member of the show and not a distraction. But she, you know how it is, just when people get old, you just got to like let it slide. Some other stuff that you would call people on, like if she was like a puppy, I'd throw her in another room and be like, oh, you'd be all right. But like, I just feel like I need to cater to her. Like, you know what? She done seen 91 years of doggy life. Like, I feel like she deserves the right to have an asthmatic attack on the show. Like, who am I to tell her where to have her breathing, you know, issues?
I've got my own issues today. They aren't that serious. So, and I'll talk about this over on Two Guys, One Show, but I went to a Warriors watch party at Oracle Arena the other night, and it was quite the experience. I won't spoil it too much, but it was quite the experience. I'll say that again. Lost my voice. It's like been 2 days now and my voice is still scraggly, but got to power through it. Got to do it for the cast. Anything else before we get into the actual stuff for today?
I do not believe so.
All right, cool, man. So it looks like we got a new review on iTunes.
From Addison America, intentional support for millennials, exclamation mark. As an avid podcast listener point. And busy. What? Point?
Exclamation point. I never heard exclamation mark. I thought it was exclamation point.
You know what? That sounds like a rabbit hole that I'm not ready to go down.
Never mind.
But I actually think you're correct. All right. As an avid podcast listener and busy professional on nonprofit education management, I like to make sure what I listen to is relevant and helpful. This podcast is a great listen and way to get vital information, parentheses, no matter what career, job you have or desire, in parentheses. Rich and Wim do an effective job mixing up the podcast to be entertaining, but also create a culture that is inclusive and supportive to our generation and what we face as people of color. They offer best practices and advice in such a way that demonstrates they are learning from their experiences and also learning with us. Exclamation point.
Yeah.
Great job, guys. I'll continue to share you with my circle. Exclamation point, emoji, hand clap. I'm not sure what that other emoji is doing.
It looks
doing.
Like emoji black woman waving.
Well, I hope you are correct.
Or black woman high five. It's one of those two things.
Amen.
At least from here. And it's also kind of small on my screen and I can't lean forward and look at it closely because of where my mic is at. But I'm guessing that's what that is.
If that's the sword you choose to fall on, sir, more power to you. But I wasn't even going to venture a guess myself.
I didn't say anything negative or offensive. It looks like a black emoji with like a hand. It looks like I see a little dot, which I'm assuming is a palm. All right. We're going down another rabbit hole. So I'm going to let it go. Addison America, appreciate the review. Let us know what we can do to get that extra star from you. I noticed we didn't get that extra star, but definitely appreciate it. And yo, you might need to come on board for the Paychecks and Balances marketing team. I know we read this beforehand. Like, wow, that's us.
Right. In a slight tangent, this reminds me, I don't know if I talked about this. Like, I had to write a bio about myself at work.
Yo, and it takes me so long to write those joints, even though I know all my stuff.
Yeah, it was like for the, what are those things called, the informational, whatever the little things that go out, you know, around the company or whatever, like here's a new hire, here's his background. And my boss edited it a little bit, and I was like, man, that guy sounds amazing. I'm like, who are we talking about? And then it was like my name was at the end. I was like, what? I've done all that in my career? Man, that's crazy. So, yes, we appreciate that, Addison. And apparently I have some level of media worthy background. I still need to improve on my paragraphs. Yeah, I hate writing those things. I think when I sent it to him, it was like a paragraph, and somehow he drew it out to like a page. So shout out to my boss as well for making me sound like somebody worthy of employment.
Yeah, I won't tell you how much time collectively I've spent like updating my Twitter bio. Like trying to get it down to like 160 characters or whatever it is. And I'm like, ah, man, it's got to convey everything about me. It's got to convey that I can be fun, that I can talk about serious things, that I can help people, that I got interests outside of work. And it's been over the course of the years, I've spent way too much time thinking about those 160 characters. And so imagine that when I'm trying to write one of these bios about myself. And I think that's always challenging for people in general to be able to. I hear a lot of people talk about writing their LinkedIn summary and how challenging it is to write that. If they have a professional summary on their resume, how challenging it is to write that. So I get it. It sounds like we both get it.
You know, it's funny you say that because I thought this was a joke, but I've unfortunately experienced it in real life where a younger person. Have you seen those ESPN commercials where like Coach K is like, hey, tell him I said this. And the guy translates it all into emojis. He just sends like six emojis and the other guy responds in like three emojis.
Yeah, I did see that.
I had somebody do that in real life. And like it was so confusing that I just sat my phone down and moved on. Like I was so perplexed. I had no idea what they were trying to say to me. It was just like six emojis. And I was like, what? And I just put my phone down. It was a young person. It was a 20-something, which I'm greatly confused by because the millennial generation is like 18 to 34. So I guess we're both millennials, but they are much, much further down the scale of millennial dumb. And I was like, I just had to, like, you ever had something that you just blew your mind and you just had to move on? Like the conversation. Yeah. Like I just put my phone down. I was like, I have no idea what's going on right now. So I say all that to say maybe that's like the future of LinkedIn profiles, because if it is, like, I'm going to need a translation service.
Yeah, man, that might be it. Well, it'll be a while before LinkedIn becomes emoji central. I know they are trying to do things to make it more cool and more hip. One thing I will say, and I don't think I said this on the show before, but I said it on Twitter and people were like, amen with church hand emojis. LinkedIn is not for selfies. I wish people understood that. It is weird. You log on, you're seeing articles about this and stats about this, and then you see someone like, good morning, with like a big picture of their face. That's not what LinkedIn is for.
Yeah, I have seen some of the motivational memes starting to creep their way over to LinkedIn that you would normally find in the Facebook familia.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I'm waiting for the Jordan cry face to show up over there. That's when it'll officially be over the shark at that point, man.
And I'm definitely not a fan of, well, I guess it is what it is, but the fact that you can openly blog, I guess you could control who you follow, but like these people, they just write. Yeah. And I'm like, I come in, I got all these new notifications. I'm like, oh, cool. Let me like log in LinkedIn, see what's going on. And it's like, and it's sometimes it's about all the topics they tell you not to talk about in the professional environment. It's about politics, religion. I'm like,
yeah. So-and-so has published a post. And I'm like, do you really want your network reading this? Like, oh, wait, you're looking for jobs right now?
Right.
You got looking for new work in your LinkedIn profile. And on top of that, you're writing these personal blog type articles on here. Oh, I can see why you're looking for work. But anyway, if you've been enjoying the show or believe in what we're doing, you should hit us up with a 5-star review on iTunes as well. It helps us get more visibility in iTunes, which means we'll reach more people. And if we reach more people, that means we'll be able to help more people. So if you don't know how to leave a review on iTunes, you can visit paychecksandbalances.com/review. So trying something a little different today. I'm not sure if this is going to be like a recurring segment or what it's going to be, but I'm going to call it From the Trenches, which is basically lessons learned or tips that come from things that we've done in our own lives, either professionally or financially that have helped us in some way. I'm struggling a little bit today, but bear with me. This voice thing, man. Yo, this tea ain't helping at all. Like I've been like sipping it with the utmost care and slowness and my voice ain't getting any better, but I'm going to keep on going.
You got to hook it up. You got to take it to the next level with the lemon drops and the honey, man.
Yeah, that's what I was like. I feel like I need a lozenge or something. But anyway, on Paychecks and Balances episode 7, which was the career moves in your 20s and 30s, I mentioned at the beginning of the episode that Boo Boo Kins, who is my fiance, if you're new to the show, got a credit limit increase by updating her income with all of her credit card companies, or with a particular credit card company in this case. So I was like, oh, word, let me do that. So I logged into the portal for each of my credit cards and updated my income info, which is I was thinking about it when I signed up for a couple of these cards. It was when I was living in New York and I was getting ready to make that move across the country. And where my income was then is drastically different than where it is now. And no, it's not a humble brag. It's just the truth. Sometimes you just got to share the truth. And so I made this update, and then like a couple of weeks later, I got a $5,000 credit limit increase on one of my cards without them having to do a hard credit check. They just increased the credit limit by $5,000, which I thought was pretty dope.
So, you know, it's interesting you say this, because when you said that, I went and updated my income information because, I'm trying to get this free buddy like everybody else, which I do recommend the listeners do. And for some reason, I didn't even... I mean, they had my income in there, and you're right, it was out of date because I hadn't checked in with them. I hadn't checked in with mine in like five promotions in like 5 years, because what I forgot is they ask you for your income when you open a card, and then they never really like ask you again.
Nah, you just got to remember to open it.
Right, unless you ask for an income increase, a credit line increase or something to that effect. So mine was like reflective of when I like opened the card, and I was like, whoa, this is really behind. So I updated mine. I don't know what the end of my story will be. But I just thought it was interesting that I think that's something that people forget, that they ask you your credit, or excuse me, your income when you open a card, but they track that and then they don't update it unless you ask for a credit line increase. So if you have gotten a raise, promotion, job change over the years, and I guess I'm going to assume that it's gone up, because I don't know if you would want to update it if it's gone down. But, nah, you know, that's an asterisk or a disclaimer that I'll leave up to you.
But if it does go down, you probably should be more responsible about how you use that particular card. Just saying.
Agreed.
Just saying. So got this credit limit increase, which was pretty dope. And so I found myself thinking, well, since they did that without me asking, let's see what else I can get. And so Bubukins and I have been talking about getting a credit card with a better rewards program. And I think we talked about credit card rewards programs on one of the last two episodes. I didn't write down which one it was, but we were thinking specifically about a card that allots more points specifically for travel, entertainment, some of the things that we do most frequently. And given that she travels for work and then has to expense it, that's basically like free points, because she uses the credit card, gets it expensed, pays off the balance, and then gets the points on top of that. And so I went on to the Citi card website. So this particular card is with Citi. They're not paying me to say this, but I figure someone may want to know which card it was. And I looked at their thank you point programs and called them up and was like, yo, I want to switch. And I thought it was going to be this process. And then they started asking questions. And I'm like, by the way, you're not about to like pull my credit again on the low, are you? And they're like, you know, let me put you on hold and check with the manager. And I was like, uh-oh. They're like, I'll be back in about 5 minutes. I'm like, you got to be back in 5 minutes to answer yes or no to that question. And so I was expecting the worst, but she came back on and was like, we're not going to hit you with a credit check. I have a bunch of disclosures I need to read you, which she did. And I was able to move to a new card without having to pull my credit or go through any other new application process. So it's a good reminder for what can happen when you keep all your stuff up to date.
Can I jump in real
quick?
Yeah. So same, I'm not paid by Citi, but I will have to say, an open disclosure, I do have a Citi card. I actually have three, but only one that I actively use. I have never had a problem with Citi. Now, to be fair, I think Citi got sued. saying this is across the board, but they've always treated me pretty well as far as customer service goes. And one example that I'm specifically remembering is I opened a new card, which I think at the time had 0% interest as an introductory rate. And I had another card that we've talked about this, how I just keep cards open. And I think everyone should because it affects your credit card utilization rate. So I never close credit cards. If I'm done with a credit card, I just cut it up and I move on with my life. I don't close the actual account. Mm-hmm. And so I had this old card that I hadn't used in years. And they're like, hey, we see that you haven't used this card. Do you want to move that credit limit over to this card you're about to open? So basically I opened one new card and I think I had like a limit of like 10,000. It's gone up since then. But I just thought that, and the same thing, it was just, they were like, hey, do you want to do this? I was like, I didn't know I could. Sure, why don't you transfer it over? So they transferred my old card's credit limit to my new card plus the limit that it already had. And so I had a new 0% interest credit card with like 10,000, credit limit that I never used.
That's so dope, right?
Yeah, I mean, so for whatever it's worth, I've had good experiences with Citi.
Yeah, yo, I was really happy with it. And I'm sure part of it is that we've kept this account in good standing. It could standing, no late fees or anything like that. And of course, updating the information in terms of income on the card was super helpful. So I'm in a good spot. So I got the credit limit increase and then got that increase applied to this new card that I'm getting that's going to become even more useful for us since it's, and something I do want to point out for people is that we're getting the rewards card because we do spend versus getting the rewards card so we can spend. It's a very critical distinction. So, and I, 'cause I think we talked about in the other episode, getting a rewards card and using it just to get points, whereas we already have these expenses and we already have these things that we're doing. So we figure if we're already doing these things, we might as well get some type of rewards for them in the process.
Boom. So that's a very important distinction to make.
Yeah. So now on to the controversial part of this, though. The credit card has an annual fee. Now, I've always been, you know, whenever I've looked at these credit card websites or I've been thinking about new cards, I've always went straight for the ones that didn't have a fee because, I mean, nobody likes to have fees. You know, it's like, oh, it's an annual, it's $97 annually. Like, why would I want to do that? That's money out my pocket. But we realize that it'll pay for itself within a couple of months, given the volume of responsible spending that we're doing. So we get more points for the things we spend on most. So travel, gas, food, entertainment in some ways, but not like at 1% or levels like you probably think we're entertaining ourselves out here. And on top of that, there are other perks and benefits that we had with our old card that now come over with this one. So I'm like, you know, that $97 annual fee for the additional perks and benefits that I get and the fact that this is going to be paid for in like a couple months time, I didn't see it as a big deal. Now, a lot of times when you sign up for the new cards like this, they'll waive that fee for the first 12 months. And I asked them about that and they were like, nah, that's for new customers, fam. And you're already winning. So let's like just cut it here. And I was like, all right. So I didn't get the waived for 12 months. But like I said, I did the math on it and I was like, you know, just given the volume of what we're doing, we're going to quickly make this up and we're going to not think anything of it. So anything you would add or questions or thoughts on that whole in the trenches scenario?
Well, a couple things. I think what set you apart, either through lessons learned or maybe through doing this show is, and that I would share with our listeners, is you researched it. Like you said, you did the math, you did the research on the call, or excuse me, on the card, you called and asked them for additional insight. Instead, I think most people get an offer in the mail, they go, oh, it's 0% interest, let me open this card up. They don't read any further than that, they don't read the fine print, they don't read that it's going to be a variable.
Pre-approved.
It'll be a variable interest rate in 2017 of 38% interest or something ridiculous. So I thought that's good. And that's what I recommend to listeners is I think, you know, as with most things, and I get it, as far as financial decisions go, it's hard to plan ahead because usually when the emergency happens, the emergency it needs to be taken care of. But if you're going to open a credit card, I mean, you actually want to do it in those times that you're not facing an emergency. So you can do the research. So you can do basically the due diligence and just saying, oh, I have this huge expense. I mean, we talked about that study and I'm going to share it in more detail on another show where 60% of Americans can't cover $1,000 bill without using credit.
Yeah.
Unexpected bill, I should say. So I think now during those slow times, instead of waiting for that $1,000 incident to come up, do your due diligence now. We talked about it. I mean, we're in an information overload, but the website creditcards.com, as best as I can tell, is more than sufficient to give you all the information you need to make a good decision. And then the other informed decision, the other part I was going to say is I think even I'm coming to appreciate this, and I honestly haven't done it in years until recently, and as part of the show and as one of our listeners demonstrated in practice. I mean, calling the credit card company, that's another thing you did. Sometimes they have cards that aren't advertised, aren't readily advertised, aren't sent to you, that are a better fit for your specific situation. And I've had that done before. I just haven't had to open a new card recently. Well, I'll call them and I'll be like, hey, I'm going to do this. I'm thinking about doing that. And they'll go, oh, we have just a card for you, sir. Or like
really?
I talked about exactly in that other incident, they had another card at 0% interest, and then they moved my balance over. Now, I don't know if that's an exception or a rule. And as you said, I think thematic here is keeping your card in good standing so you can call and have these beneficial discussions to you as a customer.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure she looked at my account. And I mean, yeah, she definitely pulled it up and was like, oh, let me see if there's anything you qualify for. And I know that was going to be based off of what she saw on the account. And so she saw that we regularly use it. We make multiple payments throughout the month to cover the pre-existing balance as well as any new expenses that we've incurred from our day-to-day stuff. And they're like, all right. And it wasn't even, so I aimed high. I shot for like the highest version of that card, expecting they would say, oh, you may not qualify for that one. And I would get the next one down and still be happy. And I got exactly the one that I wanted. So I was happy about that too. So definitely spot on about doing the research, giving them a call. And again, worst they can say is no. It's not like you're going to call them and they're going to be like, well, since we couldn't help you today, we're going to increase your APR by like 5.6%. That would suck.
Right.
But yeah, so. Not sure if we'll make this a regular segment, but yo, if you're listening to the show, which you obviously are because you're hearing me say this, and you have things that you've done, whether it's advice from this show or things that you've done that you think would be helpful to other people, little wins that you've had professionally or financially throughout the week, definitely let us know. And we might be able to read that on a future episode. So main topic for today, though, I realize we've gotten like 20 minutes in and we're just getting to the meat of it. But yo, I feel like we just delivered some helpful stuff. You know, we shared some insight with the people that's hopefully going to help someone get their life together a little bit.
Yeah, and I think it all relates. The main topic that I wanted to hit today is actually from at MyFabFinance of MyFabFinance.com. Oh, yeah. And I'll put that in the show notes. But the quote that I saw, I think she actually tweeted it, was "Beating broke takes sacrifice." And so I was like, huh, this is interesting. So I read the article that she had linked to, and she actually wrote in 2015, and it's 12 things you probably shouldn't be doing if you're broke. And I used to always hate when somebody would, they would highlight my post. I used to hate it even more when they would highlight my post and not even link to it. They just take it, and I don't even know what goes on with it. They quote it. They quoted all except for like maybe my name or something like that. So what I'm not going to do today is read all 12 of these things to you, but I am going to take 5 in no particular order that I thought was of interest. And then if you want to see the other 12, I'll link to these in the show notes. And it's at myfabfinance.com. Again, 12 things you probably shouldn't be doing if you're broke. So, and from her list, number 2 was eating out every day. Eating out is expensive. It can definitely be a budget buster. I'll try to paraphrase here. Try reducing the amount of times you eat out per week. And so I just kind of have some thoughts of my own, and you can read these in full from her article. But what I saw, you know, the infamous Twitter $200 date debate, which probably going on today and will probably go on tomorrow. I think somewhere I saw
eternity.
Up to 250 once. So I think like, I don't know, we're in a recession or inflation or something's going on, but so $200 to $250 dates. But literally, when I was in getting out of debt, and I guess both, when I was getting out of dating,
yeah, both,
and getting out of debt, I don't know which came first. There's definitely a chicken or egg scenario. But dating was, I mean, let's just be frank, it was my most expensive line item, because when you're single and struggling to get out of debt, especially the fellas, and I've talked about this more on a personal level when I was personally blogging, you honestly kind of feel like you got to honestly or frontingly think that you have to pay for everything. So yeah. I was raised, and you know, honestly still believe. Now I don't know, again, chicken and egg, which comes first. Do I raise because I believe it? I was raised to believe it, but whatever. That, yeah, if I take someone out on a date, I'm supposed to pay for everything. And that's fine, except when you're dating and trying to find a love interest. So, you know, $200 dates start to add up throughout the month. And I kind of took a step back. I'm like, man, I'm spending like $1,000 a month just going on dates.
Yo.
I'm gonna stop doing that. I mean, and so on a personal tip, what I realized I talked about in that blog was it also refined, you know, I came to that epiphany trying to save money, but it also refined who I wanted to spend my time with, because I'm like, okay, I'm going to go on a date. This could possibly turn up. Now, some people are going to write in, dates can be cheap and you can take them for a walk in the park. And I'm like, hey, I don't know who y'all are dating. And that may all very well be true, but it's not true across the board. So you're welcome to send in that advice. I've heard it all unsolicited. I'm not asking for it, but you're welcome to send it. But just the act of, you know, let's take an example. If I go out on a date, and this happens sometimes, it starts off simple, like, hey, let's just go to a movie. You know, that's like $40. Then it's like, oh, we enjoy each other's company. It's the first date. I'm thinking it's going to end at the movie. And I joked about this on Twitter once.
Is that what you really think, fam? You think it's going to end at the movie?
I did, sir. I did. So or dinner or whatever, because I know some people hate movie dates. You enjoy each other's company regardless of how it goes. You maybe both thought, and I joked about this on Twitter, where there's nothing worse than going on a date that you weren't properly budgeted for, or you didn't have the money for. And so she's like, so what do you want to do after? And in your head, you're like, nothing. You know, you're thinking about that next debit expense, or you're trying to calculate your ATM bills in your head. And, you know, that stuff just can add up. You start to, okay, well, let's go here. Oh, where we still enjoy each other's company. Let's go there. And now all of a sudden, what was originally a $20 movie date can blossom into a $200 date. I think they call it marathon dating, where you start off with one activity and suddenly 8 hours later, you're still together. Purchasing big ticket items. I'm gonna move on.
I was gonna say though that dating is like making a series of small investments for a dude. I mean, of course, for women they could say, well, you know, we invest our time. But you think about, like, when you think about it, when you're paying for dates, you're investing a small amount in the chance that something may work out with this person.
Right, and that goes back to my point when I took a step back, and I'm gonna talk about this on another show, The Power of Saying No, and I've talked about that before. You know, before I just like, well, I want to go out, so I'm going to go out. You know, same thing with dating. I'm like, I don't know. Man, this is about to sound bad, but it's like, I'm bored. I don't really know where this is going. I'm not interested or disinterested in this person, but I'm going to go out and do it because it's something to do. And then at the end of the month, when I'm patting my pockets or my other priorities is being financially secure, I'm like, well, was that the best use of, you know, frankly, my money? I mean, it is what it is. And then you have to take a step back and I'm like, well, you know, maybe I should only be going on dates with people that I'm generally interested in, or I have more interest than casual.
Yeah.
And it cut back. I mean, it cut back on my expenses. I mean, I mean, that's why I was going to jump out of this hole, because it feels like I'm digging, but it's also a fact. Like, dates, 9 times out of 10, because somebody going to write in and say, none of my dates cost money, but 9 times out of 10, the dates that I go on anyway cost money.
Yeah. I mean, that's the case for most people.
I don't know if other people are like walking and they go for picnics in the park and they only eat foliage that they can find in the park. But 9 times out of 10, I tend to spend some money when I go on a date. That's just how it goes.
All right, man. You can go on now.
Purchasing big ticket items. Number 4 from her list. This includes TVs, tablets, phones, cars, etc. Most big ticket items are considered luxury because you don't need them to survive. And I talked about this one of my advices for getting out of debt is I made a needs wants list. And I would, because I believe, you know, and I really, where I, it intrigued me about this article is I try to reinforce getting out of debt without sacrifice is an exercise I don't know how to do. Most people are like, how can I get out of debt without changing anything about my current lifestyle? And I'm like, ask somebody else, because I don't have that advice yet. I don't have that insight. So that's why I was intrigued by this article in the first place. But I also believe you can do rewards for yourself. So I made a list on one column, and, you know, I'm old school. I literally wrote it down, folded the paper hot dog style. I can't remember if it was hot dog or hamburger. I'm pretty sure it was hot dog.
Joint style.
Oh, that's what we doing? And then I live
in California. I'm not saying I partake in these things. It's just what comes to mind because of the people who are around out here. Anyway,
I wrote needs in the left column and wants in the right column. And I just, every time I would have a little disposable income after I paid for the finances and made my different debt, you know, payments that I wanted to make, I would reward myself in cash, people, with something from the wants column. Or, if necessary, something from the needs column. Now, I'm not saying put food, water, oxygen in your needs column. Like, not anything you need to survive, but it's maybe something that's more important than a want, but you don't need, like, tomorrow. And so I would buy something from that list. But what happened is, because I had to get on this debt payment strategy, when you have to go, mine took years, but let's say 18, 24 months without something, once you've actually gone about 1 to 3 months without it, you start to realize how important is this thing in my life. So I realized a lot of my quote unquote needs weren't that important because I already went several months without it. Like, some of my needs might be, oh, I need new shirts, I need new shoes. But I'm like, well, I've successfully navigated life without these things for 3 months, sometimes 18 months. You know, do I really? It really helped me reprioritize my needs and wants.
Yeah, Booba Kids won't support me taking that approach to clothes.
You know, that's interesting, because I was about to go all Hanes. I was about to do the Mark Zuckerberg system and just not throw away, but instead of revamping my closet, I'm just going all gray Hanes shirts. And I'm going to see how that works out for me. This is a serious thing I was talking about, because you can get a package of like 50 of these shirts for like $12.99. So I'm like,
yeah, no, that's the cartoon character formula.
Man, so I might look into that. I don't know how that will affect the earlier discussion with my dating life, but you know what? If you can't accept me in my Hanes, maybe you don't deserve me, and insert some other expensive line of clothing that I can't think of right now.
I mean, if you're going out with a different woman every week, they'll never see you in the same shirt. So it won't really matter.
That was not the assertion I was trying to make earlier. It's real out here is all I'm saying. It's real out here. You like what you like. Number five, ignoring your accounts. So you should check your accounts daily. My only thought here is this kind of borders on another conversation. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I think sometimes you can have information overload. So This was our conversation was about credit scores. So, I mean, monitoring your accounts daily, I get. My tip on this one was going to be Mint. There's also You Need a Budget. Dave Ramsey's group has actually come out with Every Dollar. Or if you're not fancy, you can use Excel. So,
I was going to just real quick. Go ahead. I got this app through work called Hello Wallet. I haven't just went to the site, not from like through my job portal. Well, actually, no, that's not true. I've logged in from the app on my phone, and it's just like a Mint. It's another cool option that's out there. And I do get kind of like on the spot updates about things. And I have found that helpful, but I'm gonna let you cook with the point you're making and then I'll come back to that.
No, it's fine. I mean, and that's what I'm saying. I plug Mint because I recognize my own bias in that I like it, but I probably like it because I'm used to it. It's the first tool I got, and it does what I need to do. It is by far not perfect, but I don't need a perfect system for what I'm trying to do with my life right now. Like, I mean, I understand some people need to track down to the dollar. Mint can do that, but it takes a lot more exercise than I'm willing to do. I just generally want to know where my money's going. So I check into Mint about once a month or maybe once a quarter. I like the little pie chart. I like to say, okay, what have I been doing these past few months? Usually it doesn't look good, but it holds me accountable. And I do like that facet of it. So I would have to defer to someone else if you wanted a daily tracking of your accounts, whether Mint is the best tool for that.
Yeah, but you said something really important. You said what I'm trying to do with my life. And I talked on the last episode about kind of going through this values exercise. And I think that's actually helped me with the financial side of things, like kind of knowing what's important and having some goals in mind, which makes it easier to say no to certain things that I might be so used to spending money on. So, for example, we went to the watch party this past weekend, and then we went to a friend's for a barbecue and had to bring some stuff with us. And then normally, like a morning like this, we would have woken up and went somewhere and got breakfast for like $50. And I'm like, well, there are these other things that I'm thinking about now that I know are coming up outside of all of the wedding planning stuff. And we have blatantly eggs and other things in the fridge that I paid for that are going to spoil if we don't eat them. So instead of going out and spending $50 on breakfast today, let's just eat what we have here. And then if nothing else, maybe we get a meal later. So instead of getting hit with, $100 in meals for the day. And of course, that's not just every day out here, but we're actually recording on Memorial Day. We're going to save that money that we would have normally spent. And it could be the same thing with whether it's a debit card or, hopefully you're not using your credit card all willy nilly. But when you have like those other things, those bigger picture things in mind, and you know that every time you do something that's out of line with those things, it's going to make it more difficult for you to get to whatever that goal is. If you're like me, you probably hate grocery shopping. And if you're like me, you probably hate figuring out dinner every night. And that's where HelloFresh comes into play. So HelloFresh is the meal kit delivery service that makes cooking fun, easy, and convenient. Each week, HelloFresh creates new recipes with step-by-step instructions designed to take around 30 minutes for everyone from novice chefs like myself to seasoned home cooks. And one of the best things about this is if you're cooking just for yourself, each meal could last you 2 days. I discovered that when I was making this sizzling beef stir fry last week. I promise you, it really was sizzling. And if you're wondering how the food gets delivered, it arrives at your doorstep in a special insulated box for free, 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 free. So for $35 off your first week of deliveries, visit HelloFresh.com and enter paychecks. Again, visit HelloFresh.com and enter paychecks when you subscribe. Check it out. That might help you at least like mentally hack your way into staying focused.
Yeah, you said something there. And actually, honestly, I forgot I used to do this because it's been so long. when I had exercises like this, mental exercise, where I, you know, honestly, it's a choice. And I don't mean to come across any type of way, but do not try this if you're living check to check, and which is a reality of a lot of people. So you're definitely not alone. But I would make a slight change where if I, and what I wrote down is small changes add up, or excuse me, small purchases add up. Therefore, small changes is make a huge difference. So let's use your example. If you're going to go out to breakfast, you're going to spend $20 to $50 or whatever your estimate is. And you literally don't say, oh, well, I was thinking about going to breakfast, so I'm going to do this. Like if you were actively driving to Denny's, IHOP, and then you say, you know what, I'm going to go home and cook. Then I would take that money that I was going to spend, let's say $20, and I would pay it towards a credit. No, I'd pay it towards a credit card right then because, and I talked about this, the longer you keep money in your account, the more likely you are to spend it irresponsibly. I mean, the average person does not have the self-control to make it the next 25 days. So that's the problem with, I think, putting in your savings account. Because I've done that before. But then I just go later in the month. I'm like, well, I didn't spend it on the 1st, so I could spend it on the 15th. And I just move it back over to my checking account. So
that means
I
can get 3 dinners in the last weekend.
Exactly. If you're disciplined enough to do that, I mean, hats off to you. And by all means, do so. But most people aren't. So I'm saying the second you make a beneficial decision to yourself, move that money over to one of your credit cards or something, or to your savings account or to your, you know, IRA, whatever it is, to immediately reward yourself. I think it's very difficult to make it a whole month. It sounds simple, but think about, I mean, if you have credit card debt and if you are in a scenario where living check to check, think about the last time you went a whole month making a strictly disciplined decision. And I say that with all honesty and transparency. Being responsible is difficult and it's definitely not fun. So, but that immediate reward does help. So that's something that I would share with folks. If you have the means to do so, when you do have those quick savings, pay it off. I mean, do it right then.
Yo, I definitely just a few days ago paid, and it's not even the first yet. And I was like, all right, there's way too much money in my account right now. I need to, like, something's not right. Like, let me just pay everything that I possibly can and then see what's left. And so I did that, and it gave me an accurate snapshot, because otherwise, and there's something about, so even though sometimes, even when you know that you have bills to pay, but you see that money in your account before the bills are paid, like subconsciously you're like, oh, I'm good. And then you buy something that you shouldn't have bought. So I was like, yo, I know we're getting ready to move. There's going to be, you know, last rent for where we live now. There's going to be rent for the new place. There's going to be movers. There's going to be other things. I need to accurately know what money I'm actually going to have for this month. So I got to get whatever, even if it's due like in the latter part of the next month, I got to get that out my account now. And it actually worked.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Definitely. You're going to say something though.
Well, I think it would be kicking a dead horse at this point, but or is the horse dead in that metaphor? Anyway, something about a horse and kicking. I think we've thoroughly made the point. I think I'll talk about it in more detail on another show. It's just more going or doing different than instant gratification.
Yeah.
Agreed. It's like actually the opposite. So but it'd probably be like instant payment.
Yeah.
And it's something I recommend. I mean, you have to do what you need to do first instead of what you want to do last. And most people do it the other way around. They're like, well, yeah, I know I got a bill on the 15th, so I'm going to wait till the 14th to pay it. And then you mess around and spend that money up, and you're like, oh, man, I'm going to mail this check, and hopefully they won't get it and do the electronic transfer until 12 a.m. on the 15th because my biweekly check comes, but sometimes they deposit it early. You know, like, avoid putting yourself in that scenario.
Yeah, there's, I was going to say there's no reason, but I'm fronting like that hasn't happened to me like in the last 12 months. I won't say what month it happened, but I've definitely had one of those scenarios.
Hey, I already publicly shared where I literally logged in, and this does go back to the daily transaction. So maybe she's onto something. I logged into my Chase account and it said available balance. I'm like, oh, that's a little bit higher than I thought it was. And I went out and lived life on what I thought was my available balance. And then I came back and it was a much, much lower amount. I'm like, oh. And so I went into the detail and it was that pending. Pending payments. And like someone there, they dropped a GIF where like somebody was getting hit with a bunch of pillows. It's like when all your pending payments hit at the same time. Like that's what it felt like. Those pending payments are there's something else. I don't know how it works. It seems like a scam, but there's something fishy about how they allocate those pending payments. But that being said, this is why this discussion is important. So speaking I guess the of moral of the things. Story is, yeah, exactly. Pay the bill when you know about the bill instead of when the bill is due.
Indeed.
And this one's pretty self-explanatory, luckily. Number 7 from her list is working out at a pricey trendy gym. Trendy gyms are nice, I'm not going to lie, but are they necessary? And, I mean, my comment here is, do you even lift, bro? Like, I think a lot of people, and I mean present company too, sometimes you sign up for the gym and then you just get in that gym guilt, like, I'm going to go. And if you have never gone, cancel the membership, man. Like,
man, this made my chest hurt, man. I in the last year, I've given away probably like – $700 to the gym.
Yeah, man, you're just paying the gym tax. Like, you're paying the gym guilt tax. And I don't say, like, oh, I'm not saying advocating for stop working out. I mean, first of all, you're already not working out. So don't tell me that I'm advocating for you not to work out, because you are not working out. I'm advocating you not to waste your money. So that's what I'm saying. But either start going to the gym to justify the payment, or there's plenty of other cheap, honestly, free ways to work out that you don't have to go to gym. And I say that as a gym member, and Rich knows, because I complain about it every month. I fight with my gym every month. They're always taxing me and charging me for something. And there's always something shady that they're doing with my payments.
Always.
And there's this month, I got to briefly share this, man. This month, they somehow randomly tried to debit my credit card, because I paid for personal training with my credit card, and they replaced the credit card with my debit card. So the ACH
transfer.
Yes, I don't know. So the ACH didn't go through, because I guess you can't ACH to a credit card. I really don't know. But Chase was like, nah. So I go up there, they're like, hey, your payment didn't go through. I'm like, y'all have been billing me for 6 months. What do you mean it didn't go through? And they're like, card ending in 7799. I'm like, no, that's my credit card. They're like, oh, well, we need your debit card. First of all, I'm like, why could y'all just backdate to the card that y'all correctly billed the last 5 months? But, you know, I said that in my head. And I didn't have my debit card, because I usually only carry my ID. So basically, long story short, I didn't go to the gym. And man, I wanted to jump over that counter.
Wait. They wouldn't even let you, like, work out that day? They were like, nah, sorry, sir. Like, we need that card?
Man, honestly, I don't know. Because I was so infuriated by the process, I had to leave. Like, I had to leave the gym. Yeah. Like, I was like, you know what? This is too dumb. I got to get out of here before words are said that I can't take back, and I'm going to have to see y'all again tomorrow. So I went back to my car. Like, I got in my car. I drove off.
I thought you just, like, ran to the locker room or something. Like, I don't got to take this, and just, like, ran through and, like, went straight to the treadmill, and they're trying to drag you off. That would have been funny. But, yo, you did remind me. I canceled one gym membership, because we're going to be moving to an area where the gym is going to be harder to get to. And for each of the days I go in now, when I badge in, the little screen says see receptionist, or, like, see front desk. And I'm like, really? I canceled? They're like, yeah. Because I remember when I called them and I was like, yo, this is going to be painful. I've never had an easy time canceling a membership. They want you to send something certified pigeon mail with Hebrew lettering on it and all of this other stuff to be able to actually cancel it. And they're like, okay, all set. You know, you should be good to go in 30 days. And I was like, all right, cool. That was easy. But now every time I go in, it's like, see front desk. Instead of just saying, hey, enjoy your workout, see front desk. And I'm like, yo, this feels kind of timeshare-ish. Where, like, every day it's like, are you sure you want to leave? Are you sure you want to cancel? Are you sure you want to cancel? So I got like 25 more days of that I got to deal with.
Man, but, yo, there's the gym is some kind of racket. So if you can avoid that system, I mean, work out in the park, work out on YouTube. I mean, I'll be honest, like, when I was going through my, I think I cut gym. Oh, that's what I did. I was working out through my job. But in that little interim between the cancellation and I didn't have a gym, I mean, I used my apartment. I used YouTube videos. Like, YouTube has so many free people. I mean, just like anything else on there, there's so much free workout content on YouTube. And I guess, you know, I'm plugging YouTube all over the internet. You can't not find a way to work out. Like, you have to actively not do so. So you don't have to pay for it, is what I'm saying. It's definitely an activity that you make a choice to pay for.
Yeah.
And then number 9, our favorite, drinking Starbucks. The average cup of coffee at Starbucks is about $2. Now, I actually love this tip, but the only thing I had to ask is, what cup of coffee at Starbucks is $2? Because it must be the all black or the flat white or some life that I don't know about, because my cups are $5 to $6 mocha white frappuccino in the house, man. You know, like, and don't be stingy with the whip. Like, so if I went to Starbucks, and there was a while that I was, and because you... Going back to what we were talking about earlier, like, it's crazy how you can justify small purchases And it's like death by a thousand stabs because I was making these $5 to $6 mocha white frappuccino grande purchases at 5 days a year at $5 times 52 weeks. I was spending $1,300 a year on coffee.
Oh, 5 days a week for the year. You were saying, you said five days. You said 5 days a year. I was like, what kind of coffee are you getting 5 days a year? That's that much money.
No. Yeah. If I was going every work day, pretty consistent. I mean, I might miss some days. Usually if I miss a day, it's because it was raining outside. Like the weather deterred me. It wasn't that I was addicted to Starbucks. Like I was addicted. I needed my mocha white whip. But then when I saw it was costing me $1,300 a year, like I stopped. Now I have a coffee machine at home.
Wait, and is like with the Starbucks K-cups?
No, because those are still expensive. But I do, I'm not going to lie, I haven't completely broken my addiction because I do get the Starbucks coffee.
Like every day though?
But I make like 25 cups out of it.
All right.
Yeah. I buy the bag of Starbucks coffee. I bring it home. I put in my automatic coffee machine and it tastes just as good.
That's even better. Like, so you're still getting the same level of quality, but I mean, you're probably not getting the experience of being in the Starbucks, which I don't really care about that type of stuff. So you're still getting the same level of quality, but you're spending a lot less money.
Yeah, that easily has to be $1,000 a year I'm saving. Like, I haven't done the math, but I'm just buying. I mean, the upfront cost of buying the automated coffee machine. And that's another thing. Like, what I love about it, because I'm lazy. I mean, I'm not going to lie, is I set it at just for 7 a.m. So that coffee's making as soon as my alarm goes off.
So automatically you wake up, you go in the kitchen, the coffee's brewing?
Boom.
Dope.
Yes, sir. Dope. And so that was number 9. I don't know if, I know. And then we saw that investment ad, like if you one cup of coffee a day over 40 years would be like $2.5 million. So I guess I have to throw that plug or disclaimer in there, but I didn't do the math on that. I'm actually pretty sure that's accurate though. I know it's millions of dollars, so there's another ways that you can allocate your coffee, Starbucks, or whoever you may be addicted to. And I'm telling y'all, I advocate for that automatic coffee machine. Like, it is a huge win. It's awesome. It's ready to go in the morning. That's something I'd go do that right now. Buy that today. That's something I don't even have to plug a specific brand. Just go buy the automatic coffee machine.
Yeah, if that's your thing, of course.
Buy it anyway. Yeah. Even if it's not your thing, buy it as a
gift for someone.
Buy it as a gift. Father's Day, Mother's Day. I mean, Mother's Day's past, Father's Day's coming up. Buy it. 12 things you shouldn't be doing if you're broke. MyFabFinance.com. Thank you. And I will shout her out in the mentions when we drop this show. And like maybe soon. I don't know when we're dropping it. So when we drop this show,
very, very, very soon today, if you're listening to it right now. So yeah, that's it. So we want to thank you for listening to Paychecks and Balances. We really hope you enjoyed and got something from this episode, as well as maybe a few chuckles along the way. Hopefully next week, my voice will be back to normal. Next week, hopefully the dog will still be around, and it seems like she's held up over there pretty well. So I'm pretty happy about that. I'm looking up to the sky like I just hit a 3. And yo, if you're enjoying the show, definitely share it with your network. There's someone out there who can benefit from the discussions that we're having. Someone who's struggling with credit, struggling with their work situation, don't like their job, want to change jobs. And we also have a QA that's going to be coming out later this week as well. So we've got some questions in the coffer that we're going to answer. But before closing out, anything else from you?
The dog is asleep, but hopefully she lasts and stays asleep the remaining of the shows we have to record. But no, I don't have anything specific to the show.
All right, cool, man. So again, thanks for listening. Until next time, be safe. We out. Peace.